Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 14. The Bible says in verse number 14, "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Heavenly Father, please speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that some young people grab a hold of the truth. Lord, I feel like I'm throwing out a lifeline. And Lord, you can throw out the lifeline, but somebody's got to be willing to grab a hold of it. So I pray, Lord, that our young people, everyone, dear God, from the youngest child to the one that's getting ready to launch into life, would listen and grasp and glean and grab hold of these truths. And then, Lord, let not us that are maybe more advanced and down the road a few years, let us not be so foolish as to think that we don't need these principles. Lord, the devil never stops hunting. He never stops setting traps. And so may we all, Lord, be better able to discern, have the wisdom to see and recognize the snares of death, the traps of Satan, because of the message tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. I read two portions of Scripture last Sunday night. I'm going to just real quickly summarize what we covered last Sunday night. Proverbs 13:14, the one we looked at tonight, says this: "The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." Now, those two sections, those two statements are in the same verse for a reason. The law of the wise is a fountain of life. So a wise person will pass certain laws. And we call these Bible principles or Bible convictions, Bible beliefs. They'll set standards in their life. And they'll say, there are some things that I will do and some things I will not do. There are certain places I will go. There are certain places I will not go. There are certain attitudes I will cultivate and develop. And there are certain attitudes I refuse to have. There are certain people that I will let influence me. And there are certain people I will not let influence me. These are Bible convictions, Bible laws. And if you pass biblical laws and then follow those laws, the Bible says that will be to you a fountain of life. However, if you do not do that, then you are ripe, you are a target, you are easy pickings for the devil, because the devil's always setting snares and he would like to destroy your Christian life. I had Brother Val Lovelace come up here last week, and he brought one of his traps that he traps beaver with, and he demonstrated it on the platform here. And we discussed last week that Brother Val, as he traps, he'll cover travel routes. Don't forget this, people. I'm not going to re-preach it, but travel routes. Be careful of just getting into the everyday flow of life and letting your guard down. Just the places you go every day, the devil likes to set some snares. Easement lanes, always looking to take that shortcut or that seemingly easy way, but not always the right way. Then the caster mounds. And remember how, and we're going to talk about that tonight, how oft-time pride gets us in trouble. Crossovers, and we call those transitional times in our life, are real dangerous, where you have a lake on this side, a lake on this side, and maybe a place, they're safe over here, but they've got to cross over, those transitional times. And then we talked about the way that they trap around the dens, and moms and dads, we've got to be careful in our own homes that we set up some standards and some rules. And by the way, rules never, please listen to what I'm going to say. I'm going to repeat this probably 47 times tonight till somebody believes me. But rules do not create rebellion. Rules reveal rebellion. Rules do not create rebellion. Rules reveal rebellion. And so every single person has to pass some laws. Now, if you're a teenager, look up here and listen to me. And when you're a child, you know what? Mom and dad sets the rules and the regulations, and that's great, and they should. And you know what? That's why the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Because your parents are going to set some safe boundaries and laws and standards and regulations for your home, and you ought to obey that. Now, when you're a teenager, you still ought to obey your parents. But let me say this, during your teenage years, those laws, those regulations, those standards, those rules, those convictions ought not to be followed because your mom and dad say so, but they ought to be developed as your own. You know, when you're hitting 15, 16, 17 years of age, and you've been raised in a good Christian school, Christian church, and a Baptist church with some standards and whatnot, and in a Christian family, and you've been to Sunday school for all those times, there come a point in time where you ought to just laugh on to some of that stuff and believe some of that stuff and set those things as the laws of your life and develop a Bible convictions for yourself, not just because your parents say it, but because the Bible teaches it, and that will ensure that you are safe and are partaker of the fountain of life. Now, I'm going to just have you take your Bibles tonight, and I am going to trim just a little bit of normal time off tonight, but I want to show you four snares. Four Bible snares. They're very specific in the Scripture, and I want to show you four Bible snares that the devil will set, and that the young people, especially teenagers, please listen to me, you're very susceptible. You're, because of your lack of experience, you're very susceptible because of your youth to be caught in these snares. And that doesn't give the rest of us a pass by any means. About the time we think we've got it under control, we can find out how fast we can lose it. And so, but I want to speak to the hearts of the children and the young people. The devil's going to set out some bait and some snares that's going to look very attractive to try to lure you towards that snare. Here's a snare number one. This is the bait that he uses. You can be a god. You can be a god. Say, really, preacher? He actually uses that? Sure he does. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, wait a minute, God said you would. Then he goes on to say this, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, we don't normally have it presented to us this blatantly, but this is the bait. You can be a small g god. That's what the devil's going to try to come to you and tell you. And you know what? If you think about it, that's what he's using in the lives of our young people today. Now, let me ask you this. Is God your god, or are you going to be your god? Does God have a right to command you? Does God have a right to direct you? Does God have a right to limit you? I mean, heaven forbid that God might actually ask us not to do some things that we might want to do. Well, he has a right to do that because he is God. So the devil says, listen to me. Aren't you tired of mom and dad telling you what to do? Aren't you tired of the rules in the Christian school? Aren't you tired of the standards? Aren't you tired of this and tired of that? Listen, man alive, I've got a better way for you. You can be the one that sits on the throne of your life, and you can be the one that decides what is right for you and what is wrong for you. You can be your own God. You know what he's doing? He's appealing to your pride. That's what he's appealing to, your pride. In Proverbs 22, verse 4 through 5, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. The froward is somebody that won't listen to anybody, that's picked a path to destruction. They're going to bluff their way and push their way and make their way, no matter what anybody saith. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Proverbs 16:18, pride, all this wicked thing that infects all of us. All of us are susceptible to it. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is it to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And I want you to go, because I want you to see some of these snares and the reference to the snares. Go to 1 Timothy, if you will, chapter number 3. I'm going to have you move around in your Bible just a bit tonight. I'll read some of the scriptures because of time. But 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you'll notice, in the qualifications that set out for a pastor, by the way, those qualifications are just that. They're qualifications. They're not suggestions. They're qualifications. In verse number 6, notice what he says concerning those that would desire the office of a bishop. Verse 6 says, not a novice. Here's why. Lest being lifted up with pride, watch this, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach. And there it is, the snare of the devil. And I'm telling you, young people, the devil's just going to put that little trap out there, and he's going to put that bait, and here's the bait. You know what? You can decide for you. You can be your God. You can lift up yourself upon the throne of your life. And he will appeal to your pride, because that is where we are all vulnerable. Now, everyone look up here and just let me have your full attention for a second. Listen to me. Are you teachable? Are you approachable? Can you handle reproof? Can you handle rebuke? Have you already, before you've even kissed the ripe age of 20, have you already declared that you know more than everybody else in your life? Who sits on the throne of your life? That's a fair question. That's an honest question. Who sits right now on the throne of your life? Say, preacher, my goodness sakes, are you suggesting that I view myself as a God? If you think that you're the one that ought to decide what's right and wrong for you, then yes, you have become your own God. By the way, why don't you just go pay somebody and make yourself a little idol of yourself? Why don't you just kneel down and worship yourself? But that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Snare number one, you can be a God. Boy, this works on young people so much. Be careful. You know what Eve ought to have said that day? She should have answered thus. She should have said to the devil, listen to me. God never created me to be a God. God created me to worship Him as God. He is my God. Don't tempt me with that. I have no desire to be a God. I have only the desire to follow the true and living God. Get behind me, Satan. And every young person here ought to memorize that little speech, because sooner or later the devil's going to set that little snare. And he's going to set that trap for you. Number two, snare number two. Here's the second. By the way, every one of these snares start with the same word, Y-O-U. Yeah. Number one, you can be a God. Number two, you can be popular. You can be popular. Proverbs chapter 14, look at that if you will. I want to show you these verses. If you do a study on this word snare, it's very easy for you to come to the same conclusions that I came to as I studied this out. This word appears, I think it's strategically located in our King James Bible. I think that when we are given the statement, the snares of death, further study will show and reveal to us what these snares are. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 27. Watch this. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now we read that. The fear of the Lord. Notice that. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. Before we read, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. In this verse, we read, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. So what protects us from the snares of the devil? Number one, the law of the wise. Number two, the fear of the Lord. But I want you to also look at Proverbs chapter 29, please, and verse number 25. And here's where we see the warning. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So one verse said this, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to save you or help you to depart from the snares of death. The other one said, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now what am I talking about? I'm talking about, number one, the devil will set a snare that says you can be a god, and your pride, if you're not careful, will take you right into that snare and you'll be caught. Number two, he sets a snare, you can be popular. And you know what he's saying? He's saying, listen, you can choose to fear the Lord, but what is all the people around you going to think? What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about peer pressure. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the desire to be popular. I'm talking about the desire to have the accolades and acceptance of the worldly culture and the worldly crowd. Now listen, you've got to pass some laws in your life. How do I save myself from snare number one? You can be a god. Here's the law you pass. Law number one, I will maintain a humble heart. I will view personal pride as not only a sin, but as a danger beyond measure. If you pass that law in your life, I will maintain, with God's help, a humility about me. I'm not going to let myself rise up in pride. I'm not going to be a proud person, because pride is a poison and pride will take me to a snare. How can you fight the second snare? You can be popular. You pass the law. Here's what it is. I will fear the Lord and put my trust in Him. I will not live in the fear of peer pressure. I read this, I had to laugh. An aged lady was interviewed on her 104th birthday. When asked what is the best thing about being 104, she quickly replied, no peer pressure. I guess that took care of itself, amen. Now folks, let me just say, it's not just young people that are influenced by peer pressure. You have to get to the point in your life where you refuse to spend your life trying to stay in the good graces of ungodly people. Now, I'm either affected and influenced by the fear of men and what they think, or I'm given over to the fear of God and what He thinks. And I'm not saying that you should not care about what good and godly people think about you. There is something called a good name that you ought to protect. But you have to stop worrying about what the pagan world thinks about you, what the pagan world says about you. As long as you are controlled by that, I want you to picture up here for a moment, you are bound in chains, you are bound in shackles. I mean, you know what? You cannot do the things you ought to do if you are controlled by the fear of man. That always brings a snare. And one of the greatest trips I ever made to an altar, I made to the altar of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I asked God, let me leave the shackles of worrying about what the world thinks and what my peers think. Let me leave them right here at an altar, and let me walk away from this altar a free man. And when I stood up from that trip to the altar, I'm going to tell you, it was like 1,000 pounds was lifted off my shoulder and the chains fell off. And you know what? From that day forward, I decided, you know what? I'm not purposely going out trying to hurt people or to get in bad graces with people, but I am going to focus on pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ, number one. He's going to be number one. And you know what? If that bothers everybody else, they're going to have to be bothered. If that makes me popular or unpopular, it doesn't matter. If that gives me good graces or bad graces with certain people, that's just stuff to them, but I will serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord. Now, young man, I'm talking about some of you right here on the front. You have got to stop being bound and tied and worried about what a bunch of pagans think, and you got to start being more concerned about what the Lord Jesus Christ think about what you do. I want to be popular. I want people to accept me. And if I just stand out as a Christian, then I'll be ostracized. People will say bad things about me. People will persecute me. Let me tell you, you're right. Yea, all that live godly will suffer persecution. So what? Get over it. Big deal. Someone said something to me that made a lot of sense when I was a teenager. They said, you know what? The crowd that you're trying so hard to impress, if I could put you in a time machine, take you 20 years ahead, you'd see that their lives are a disaster. Do you want to be a disaster too? Who cares what a punk thinks? Who cares what a punk thinks? Sorry. I'm just trying to talk plain tonight. Who cares what some pagan thinks? Who cares whether or not they make fun of you or laugh at you? Big deal. If they do that, just look at them and say, hey, I'll tell you what. Why don't you call me 10 years from now? Just call me. You choose your path, you go down it. I'll choose my path, go down it. Let's call. Hey, matter of fact, let's just set the date right now. What's the date? What's the time? I'll tell you what. Let's just make sure we get together 10 years from now. We'll see where you're at. We'll see where I'm at. Thank you very much. Some of you are so controlled by this. Controlled by things. One of the things that I sometimes lay at the feet of young adults is, you know what? It's time to get out of junior high. Who cares? Still trying to be popular with pagans, still controlled by peer pressure, more concerned about what a bunch of heathens think or a bunch of carnal Christians might say about you than just standing for the things of God without apology. So don't be controlled by that stuff. Here's the snare. He's going to set it, okay? You can be a god. You know what? You don't have to listen to anybody. You can decide what's right or wrong for you. And you know what? You can sit on the throne of your life. And so many young people go right into that. Snap! They're caught. You can be popular. Hey, you can be popular. You can be a big shot. Hey, you know what? You can get that worldly crowd to really think you're cool. Here they go. Snap! Right into that trap. Here's the third snare. Watch this. Boy, head on over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here's the snare. You can be rich. You can be rich. Now, I'm going to put all these things together and end. I'm going to create for you a perfect scenario of not a potential victim, an absolute victim, guaranteed victim, a guaranteed young person that will end up in multiple snares of Satan. I'm painting a picture for you. I pray that you're listening tonight. Snare number three, you can be rich. You say, preacher, is anything wrong with money? Well, look, we're going to find out what's right and what's wrong with it right now. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be therewith content. But, now there's the formula for success. That's the recommendations of the Bible, is contentment. Contentment's the way. But notice this next phrase, but they that will be rich. In other words, those that are possessed by covetousness. Those that says, you know what, I am going to find a way to make money and have everything I want, and that's going to be the purpose of my existence, one of the driving forces of my life. I am going to have certain things. I am going to drive a certain kind of car. I'm going to live in a certain kind of house. I'm going to have a certain kind of job. And you know what, anything gets in the way of that or prevents that, I'll just walk over the top of it because that's where I'm heading. Let's see what the Bible says, what will happen to that type of person. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a what? And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now read that, folks. Put your finger on all of those things, all of those predictions, all of those prophecies in the Bible. But they that will be rich, what's going to happen? They're going to fall into temptation. They're going to fall into a snare. They're going to fall into many foolish and hurtful lusts. They're going to be drowned in destruction and perdition. They're going to err from the faith. They're going to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a fun life. The God of this generation is materialism. The false God of this generation is materialism. I mean, money meets where the tire meets the track, where the rubber meets the road. I'm just telling you, you blow all the fluff away, and you know what you're going to find out? A Christian is either content or they're covetous. Yes, sir. They're either content with what God has provided for them, or they are determined that they're going to have more no matter what it costs or what decisions they have to make. By the way, Nathaniel, that was a good message. I wish I would have wrote that. That was a good message, man. And you're going to have all kinds of opportunities dangled in front of you that you're going to have to trade serving the Lord and attending the Lord's house. But you know what? It's going to seem like that the benefits are worth it, because you'll be able to have this. You'll be able to make this. You'll be able to buy this. My goodness sakes, the families that have followed that road, and then later on their children and their grandchildren and the mess of their lives. And how many times do I have to hear, oh preacher, if I had enough. If I had enough. I want you to be very careful, young people, that you don't get caught up in this desire for material things. Well, I'll tell you what, my mom and dad struggled their whole life, and they just haven't had a whole lot. And you know what? Haven't lived in a nice home. We've always had to drive new cars. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going to live that way. Your mom and dad's serving the Lord. They made a choice, God or mammon. They decided we're going to serve the Lord. By the way, you selfish little brat, they wouldn't have to live the way they're doing if they didn't pay your Christian school bill, you thankless little brat. Shame on you. Shame on you. Amen. Now, is there a law that I can pass, preacher, that would protect me from this snare? Yeah, here's the law. I will exercise contentment and refuse to be controlled by covetousness. I will view money as a tool, materialism as a blessing, but will love neither. My love is reserved only for God. Now, there's the snares he's setting. He's going around setting them all around you right now. You can be a god. You can be popular. You can be rich. Let me have you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'm going to read this one before I present the next one to you. Some of you will decide Pastor Jerry made it up. It's not really in the Bible. I preach messages and I got young people determined to believe that, you know, I just look at their lives and get an outline. I got thinking in my office today. I thought, you know what? I've been preaching these same truths since I was on a Sunday school bus trying to convince a bunch of inner city ghetto kids when I was 18, 19 years old, preaching, screaming. I'm preaching the same things then I'm preaching now. You know what, folks? Things don't change. The devil doesn't come up with a new idea. He doesn't have to. The same things that were working in young people's lives in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s are working in this century just fine. He doesn't have to change much up on anything. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, did I tell you that? Verse 25, notice this. Look at these verses. Please, please listen to me. I'm going to try one more time. Here I go. Thank God for the young people that listen. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 25. I applied mine heart to know. Well, think about what he says here. Ecclesiastes, by the way, is his closing book. This is the end of his life. Solomon's made some real goofs. He's not in a good situation right now. But he's wise enough to jot down some warnings to the generations that would follow. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. Watch this. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. We're not done reading. Go to Joshua chapter number 23. Then I'll let the scriptures talk to you a little bit, and then I'll present the truth. Joshua chapter 23. If you'll look and focus in on verse number 11. Joshua 23, verse number 11. I'll give you a moment to get there. I want you to see it, young people. I want you to read it. Did you hear what Solomon said? I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Some of you are going to run out of here so that you can find freedom, and you're running right into captivity. You're going to turn your back on the opportunity and possibility of marrying into the perfect will of God and finding some choice, virtuous young lady. But you're going to run out and you're going to see what you can dig out of the world. And that person, whether it's a young lady or whether it's a young man, will be a snare unto your soul for the rest of your life. Joshua 23, if you will, look at verse number 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. What a good advice. Else, if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be, what? Snares and traps unto you, scourges in your side, thorns in your eyes. Does that sound appealing, young man? That's not what your eyes are looking at now, are they? It's not what's appealing to your eyes right now. What you think you look and lust after and like will turn into thorns into your eyes one day. Until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. I've said this statement over and over again. I've preached it for a generation. Please listen to me. The second most important decision you will make in your life is who you choose to marry. And Satan is going to set this snare. Here it is. He's going to come to you and he's going to say, hey, everybody's trying to tell you what to do. Listen, you marry whoever pleases you. You marry whoever pleases you. And nobody's got a right to choose your spouse. You go out and you find somebody that pleases you and you marry them. Don't worry about what everybody else says. I want to read to you out of Genesis chapter 6. By the way, this is the portion of Scripture that precedes the flood. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw, that's with their eyes, the daughters of men, the sons of God, the descendants of Seth, the daughters of men, the descendants of Cain, that they were what? Fair? And they took them wives of all which they chose, which they chose. So how did God destroy the lineage of Seth and turn the world to such wickedness that finally God had to look down and say to Noah, build a boat, build a boat. It's such a mess, I've got to start over. This is how he destroyed civilization. He went to the Christian young man and he said, hey, you know that tribe that lives just over the hill and across the holler and on the other side of the edge of the sea there that your moms and dad tell you to stay away from? You wouldn't believe the beauties that live over there. You ought to kind of sneak over there and take a look for yourself. And they went and they made their choices based on what they saw with their eyes. They didn't look into the heart. They didn't see if there was virtue. They didn't see if there was a love for God. All they did was they let their lust choose who pleased them. They didn't pray about it. They didn't get counsel about it. They were like Samson, get her for me because she pleaseth me. Well, ask Samson how that worked out. His eyes blinded out. Grinding the meal like a farm animal. Grinding the meal. In the camp of the Philistines. Mom didn't know anything and dad didn't know anything and he could choose. No one was going to tell him who he couldn't date or couldn't date. Now, let me put all of these things together and then we'll go to the house. But listen to my closing words. Don't put your shoes on, ladies. Just set still a minute here. Everybody look right up here. Don't lose me, because this is the most important moment of the message. Please, everyone listen. Don't put your Bible away. Look right up here. Let me describe to you, and this hasn't changed, by the way, young person. You're not the first teenagers to come through here. Let me describe to you the easiest Christian in the world for the devil to snare and destroy. Let me tell you the easiest young person in the world for the devil to snare and destroy. Here he is, or here she is. Find me a young person who is full of themselves and too proud to submit to godly authority. Add to that in this young person a desire to be popular with the world. Add to that a driving desire to have money, cars, homes, cash. Add to that a disdain for Bible principles that would lead them to God's perfect will in a spouse. And add to that an obsession for members of the opposite gender, a determination to pursue someone who fits the world's criteria of outward beauty, sensuality, and carnality. You show me a young person with those character traits, and you are looking at the easiest person in the world for the devil to destroy. He'll trap you, and it will be no problem for him. You'll find yourself sitting in a pig pen one of these days. But on the other side of that coin, and it's only fair that we flip the coin before we close the message, you find me that young person who has a heart humble enough to listen to godly authority. By the way, some of you parents ought to listen to godly authority too. You don't listen to your preacher, you're teaching your kids. Don't listen to the preacher. You find me a young person who has a heart humble enough to listen to godly authority. A fear of God and not a fear of man. The blessed attribute of godly contentment. I'll be satisfied with what God has provided and be thankful. A dedicated and determined desire to please the Lord by marrying in the perfect will of God. You show me that young person, and I'll show you someone that's virtually untouchable. Untouchable. You know why? Because they've passed some laws in their life. And as long as they follow those laws, you know what? It's going to lead them past the snares and past the traps and into the perfect will of God. Now, everyone look up here and let me close up. Rules, standards, Bible principles are not your enemy. They're the best friend that you have. Rules, standards, and Bible principles, listen to me, do not create rebellion. They reveal rebellion. I'm a little sick of that being said. Well, the rules are so strict and they're so unreasonable, they make us have to go out and do wrong. That is the most foolish statement I've ever heard in my life. If the Bible principles we've set up for our young people to guide them towards God's perfect will in a spouse is ridiculous and it makes all the young people rebel, then Chad, why didn't you rebel? Because don't you understand, rules make you rebel. What's wrong with you, an idiot? I mean, rules make you rebel. Hannah, why didn't you go out and rebel? Michael, why didn't you go rebel? No, I'm trying to help some of you parents that are listening to some of the ding-dong things that are said around here. It's not the rules that cause rebellion. It's the heart of a man that causes rebellion. By the way, look at the young people that didn't fight him and that said, you know what, I'm just going to say that I don't know as much as my parents. I don't know as much as my preacher. And I'm going to listen. I'm going to follow. And I'm just going to trust some things. And I'm going to pass some laws. And I'm not just going to ask my mom and dad for their convictions. I'm going to get into the Bible and form the same convictions. And I'm going to believe them for the right reasons. Mom and dad at some point is not even going to have any rules, because I'll have my own rules. And they will be based on the Bible. And since mom and dads are based on the Bible, we won't have a problem in the world. No, the honest truth is, it's about time you stop hiding behind a lie. The reason you rebel is because you're a rebel. It's not about the rules. It's not about the strictness. It's not about the standards. If that was true, every young person in this church would grow up and go to the devil. You know what rules do? Rules make you make a choice. You know what Bible principles do? Bible principles make you choose a side. I'll either be on the Lord's side or I'll be on the devil's side. And then you go to the devil's side, and then you turn around and want to say, well, they made me go to the devil's side because they had rules. The same rules that if you'd have followed would have kept you on the Lord's side. Now, if you want to believe that, you go ahead, but good night. That makes me dizzy thinking about it. Don't you blame rules. Don't you fight against you. Listen, young men, you're not always going to be sitting up here, and you know what? I mean, your teenage years, your toughest years are ahead, and the devil's going to come to you, and they're going to try to tell you that your dad don't know anything and your mom don't know anything, and there's going to be people that sneak into your life, and if your folks are dumb enough to give you a cell phone, there's going to be people that text you and tempt you and tell you all kinds of things. And you know what? You're going to have to choose. You ought to just pass some laws in your life. I mean, pass them young. Just pass the laws when you're in your youth and determine there's some things I'm going to live by and I'm going to do. I don't care if every other young person, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, decides to do the opposite. You know what? I'm going to stay right and I'm going to do right. And I'm going to be the one that's happy and I'm going to be the one that's blessed. And the proud and the arrogant and the scorner, you know what? They can spout all of their supposed knowledge. But let me tell you, son, 10 years from now, come back and see me. Young ladies, please be careful. Some of you are so good and so on track and so surrendered and the God's touch is upon you. But I'm telling you, you think the devil just surrendered? I've watched him come in and do an end around and get the best kids in a moment of weakness. Get the best kids in a moment of weakness. You young men that have already determined to do right and you're heading in the right way, listen, don't you let anybody blow you off course. Just decide, you know what, I'm going to have some convictions. I'm going to pass them along. And those laws will guide me away and around from the snares of the devil and into the perfect will of God. And there's happiness there. There's blessings there. There's goodness and grace and life. Amen. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you take the truths tonight and fasten them to our hearts. Lord, I don't know whether I'm trying to convince people anymore or whether I'm just trying to convince some that are unconvinced. But maybe wrongly influenced. I don't even know where I'm at on some of this anymore, God. But I want to thank you, dear God, that those times when I get maybe a little bit down in a moment of despair, walk into a school or walk into the church and there, thank God, there's still a remnant. Thank God, there's still a group of young people that said, preacher, maybe we don't understand everything, and maybe we at times don't even agree with everything. But you know what? We're going to trust the Word of God. We're going to trust godly counsel. We're going to trust those who have gone before. And I'm going to set some rules up. I'm going to set some laws up in my life. And I'm not going to bend them or break them for anybody. I'm going to follow them and let them guide me to the fountain of life. Lord, I know the devil. I've done battle for many years, both personally, Lord, and in the ministry. We fought him. He's our enemy. There's nothing we have in common. There's no ground for compromise. There's no ground for agreement. He hates me, and I hate him. Lord, I know that he's very good at what he does. It's amazing to me how he can take some of his lies and convince young people that they're the ones that thought of them. I pray, Lord, that you'd shine the light, the bright light. A veteran pastor has walked over to four snares, pointed right down to where they were hidden and said, look what the devil put right in front of you. Do you see it now? Do you see it? Can't you see? Right there. The snare is right there. God, I don't know what else I can do. At some point, the preacher has to stand upon the wall, the watchman on the wall, and he has to blow the trumpet. Lord, dear God, I guess I hurt for the simple or the foolish that go on. They go on past the warnings. Dear God, I pray, Lord, that we would see true repentance. For some, maybe they just need to be saved. For others, Lord, that they would come to real and true repentance in their life, where they would fall down in humility upon their knees before an all-knowing God. Repent, dear God, of the wrong philosophies, the demonic, devilish philosophies that they've not only bought into, but they've even helped propagate. God, I pray that we'd see a touch of revival. Lord, if we as parents expect to see those things in our children, how can we not do the same? Lord, I pray that everyone in this room, from grandma and grandpa all the way down to the youngest child, would embrace the warning that's been issued from this pulpit tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.